Good afternoon, Houston, and welcome to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge here on Star 790 KBME for the best medical updates ever. Are you fearful that better health seems out of your reach regardless of how hard you try or whatever you do? Are you afraid of suffering with heart disease or diabetes or perhaps lingering with stroke or cancer? Or do you avoid thinking about these things because you'll just try to make the best of it whatever happens? Are you limited by joint pains or finding that you can't run from your headaches? Maybe you're hesitant to try something new because you're afraid that what you'll do is wrong. Or maybe because you'd better be right or nothing will ever help. Well, regardless of what might be happening with your health problems, these next few minutes could be the answer to your prayers. Unless, of course, you're convinced that your doctors have done everything possible. Or if you've already decided to have surgery but you're waiting till you worsen further. But if you hold out any hope at all, then you should know that we see desperate people every day, people skeptical about whether anything we can do can make a difference in their lives. And sure enough, many of them are pleasantly surprised. Maybe you could be one of them. After all, the only thing you have to lose is your discomfort, your fear, your worry, maybe even your anger that no one has really listened to you or that no one has been able to help you. We'll be talking about what you can do to get out of your pain and get on with your life. I've practiced for 25 years, never believing that you're suffering from a deficiency of one or more drugs or that an operation is probably the best answer. Whatever ails you, God built your system to repair itself and to restore more normal function. And that, in a nutshell, is the whole buzz on the topic of alternative or holistic medicine that you've been hearing about these past few years. Now, drugs and surgery can be helpful, but true natural healing depends on three factors. First, find what's blocking you from feeling better and remove it. Second, find what trace factors you might be missing but you need for repair and provide them. And third, find what switches need to be turned on and turn them on. We'll share practical pointers to help you improve with the most common problems seen in doctors' offices. Practical preventive medicine updates to help reduce your risk factors for the most serious diseases that claim our comfort and then our lives. And practical ways to reduce your risks and improve your results with drugs and surgery that you might need. As I've said for years, when life is your choice, failure is not an option. So learn more today on how you can succeed. And if what we offer doesn't apply to you right now, then share this life-saving information with family or friends who do need to know. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 1, verse 9, that there is no new thing under the sun. So let's see what we might learn from those who've walked the path ahead of us. Philosopher George Santayana has all sorts of wonderful things he shared with us. This one is really nice. We must welcome the future, remembering that soon it will be the past. And we must respect the past, remembering that it was once all that was humanly possible. All that was humanly possible. Think about how many times we berate ourselves for having made choices where, knowing what we know later, we would have done something different, but we didn't know something later. You know, several listeners have asked us, how do we get toxic metals that are killing us slowly, sometimes fast? And we need to know about that. So let's turn our attention to this common problem, a significant health problem, getting toxic from vaccinations or dental fillings or fish or lead pipes and paints, lead gasoline, engine exhausts, aluminum cans, cookware. How about the water and the food that we eat and so on? You know, it's easy to talk about mercury poisoning because it's so common. Like flashing that smile shiny bright with silver looking mercury. Well, what about symptoms that might cause? You see, when we're handling tooth dental decay, sometimes we create more problems than you ever would imagine, such as insomnia or nervousness. Aren't those so common these days? Memory loss and dizziness, anxiety, loss of self-confidence, irritability or drowsiness. How about depression? What a society for depression. Unexpected weight loss or tremors, paresthesias, that's numbness and tingling in your hands and feet and elsewhere. Hallucinations, headaches, fatigue, how woefully common that is. What about muscle weakness or hearing difficulties? Emotional lability, that means kind of moody and hair trigger there. Skin inflammation, uncoordination, even kidney damage. Well, you know, these are the commonly reported things, but we're going to bring you a special guest tonight who actually is a leader in the anti-amalgam issues. This is someone who is saying, hey, wait a minute, we got to rethink the dental filling issues. And this is Ms. Freya Koss, who herself has had far more interesting symptoms to suffer with. Freya, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on your program and giving me the opportunity to share my experience with your audience.
Oh, your experience is really something else. Why don't we get right to it?
Well, I think I did have some of the symptoms that you described. I had muscle weakness. I had neuromuscular problems. I had some brain fog, and for a time I did experience some depression. However, I think the most overt symptoms were from acute mercury poisoning.
You know, when you talk about this, everybody says, well, yeah, I have those things too. But you really went way beyond that, didn't you?
I certainly did, and that's why I mentioned acute mercury poisoning. Most people have chronic mercury poisoning from dental fillings and have no idea that their symptoms have anything to do with what's in their teeth. And I imagine that your audience, maybe they don't know that those silver fillings are really 50% neurotoxic mercury.
Right, but we call them silver anyway.
Well, the American Dental Association calls them silver.
Right, who wants poison in your mouth? You
right.
know, the mercury arrives with skull and crossbones when it gets to the dental office.
Absolutely, and it's poison before it goes in, and it's hazardous waste when it comes out, so it can't be safe in your teeth. And I didn't know that. And I didn't know that those silver fillings weren't silver. They were mercury, and our dentists don't tell us that, and that's why I got in trouble. I had an old filling drilled out and a new filling replacing it, and they were both amalgam fillings.
So that means the mercury-silver amalgam, which also has tin and a few other things, right?
Copper.
Right.
Tin. And sometimes zinc. But they are all 50%. Approximately 50% mercury.
Exactly.
So I had an upper tooth that had a cavity under an old filling, and the dentist drilled it out and replaced it with a new amalgam filling. And I thought, this is terrific. 7 days later, I walked out of the theater and I was struck with double vision, and it was so bad I could barely see. The lights from the oncoming cars were multiple, blinding me. So I waited 9 days, and it did not go away. And I eventually went to my optometrist, and she became quite alarmed and sent me to a neuro-ophthalmologist. That's a neurologist that handles problems with the eyes.
Right.
And they ran a battery of tests and told me to have an MRI of my brain. And I still didn't think much of it. I felt fine except for this terrible eye condition, which I had never experienced before. And when I went back to the neurologist, the neuro-ophthalmologist at a large teaching hospital in Philadelphia, the doctor looked at me and he said, well, we'll fix your eyes up with prednisone, but you're going to have MS or lupus for the rest of your life.
Whoa, now. Let's talk turkey. What do you mean MS or lupus? You weren't talking like that. You were just talking about something with your eyes.
Correct. Well, here's what I found out later. So the doctors pretty much look at your clinical symptoms. My clinical symptoms were a neuromuscular problem in my eyes. So my eyes, the muscles weren't moving. That's what caused the double vision. That is a symptom in mainstream medicine of multiple sclerosis or lupus. It can be.
Right.
And so they have to label you, I assume, with something. So he looked at my blood studies. In fact, Dr. Trowbridge, my blood studies did have biomarkers for multiple sclerosis and or lupus.
Right, which is a little worrisome because you were physically making changes, not just your eyes. You were making chemical changes on the inside as well.
Correct. I had a 10,000 ANA titer. That was a very, very high autoimmune titer.
That fits lupus. That's right.
Right, and then I had high liver enzymes and a high rheumatoid factor as well. So they put those together with the eye condition, and they told me I had multiple sclerosis. Well, needless to say, I was absolutely shocked, devastated. I know people who were very, very ill from those diseases and actually died from them.
Right.
And I cried a lot. I walked out of the dental office, and on my way, and I did not take the steroids, by the way. I decided not to. because I know what the side effects of steroids can be. And so I, on the way home, I decided that I was not going to have multiple sclerosis, and I was going to find out what caused this illness. Believe that there's a cause and effect. Something caused it.
Absolutely, and we're going to get right back with you because we want to hear more about that for
you. Thank you.
The time is about 10 past the hour, and you're listening to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge on Star 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. Your extended health forecast is brought to you now by Life Celebrating Health in Humboldt near Bush Intercontinental Airport. Our crystal ball shows clear to partly cloudy with the winds of change blowing. Are you acting more like an ostrich, burying your head in the sand because you don't feel able to deal with your health problems? Then your tail feathers will be getting wet when partly cloudy skies change to rain. Perhaps you're clucking around, kind of happy that a new medication has you feeling better, but not realizing that those fancy patches and band-aids might not be the best for you. If you're not changing anything and simply hoping for the best because you've been feeling pretty good, or maybe you're afraid or unsure, then cloudy to very stormy skies are on your horizon. Or just maybe you're ready to make changes to regain and maintain better health, then sunny skies are coming your way. At Life Celebrating Health, you can depend on us as partners in your health care, and we'll design personalized programs to help keep your days sunny. And we'll show you how to spend less and get more. Call for your free telephone consultation with one of our treatment assistants. No fee, no obligation. Just dial 1-800-FIX-PAIN. That's 1-800-FIX-PAIN. 1-800-FIX-PAIN. Ask to receive our free e-newsletter. Just share with us your email address or send your questions to us through our internet website, www.healthchoicesnow.com, because unlike the weather, you do have choices for better health. And we're back this afternoon with Freya Kost talking about acute mercury poisoning, something beyond just the simple stuff. And your story is really complicated. What happened?
What happened after I decided that I wasn't going to be sick for the rest of my life?
Right. That is a conscious choice, isn't it?
It absolutely was. And I'm not certain why I made that choice, but I did. I guess I've never been accepting of what other people tell me, even since I was a child.
Good.
what I did was I stopped off at a drugstore on my way home, and I bought an eye patch because I couldn't see unless I covered one eye. And I sat down in front of my computer for about 20 hours a day until I found out what happened to me.
Wow.
I mean, no doctor was going to tell me, at least the doctors I went to at that time,
right,
that there was a cause for these illnesses. So I went online and I got into a discussion group where people post different eye conditions, because I had no idea that my eyes had anything to do with my teeth. And a woman from England actually saved my life. She wrote that she had multiple sclerosis for 10 years, and she heard about the possible connection between amalgam mercury fillings and multiple sclerosis. So she went to an ordinary dentist, not a dentist that is educated as to how to safely remove mercury fillings. That's very, very important. And he took two fillings out and replaced them with non-mercury fillings, white fillings. And 7 days later, her MS symptoms exacerbated, and she was struck with double vision.
Wow.
And it was about 3:30 in the morning, and I realized that 7 days before I had had this dental work done. And that was my first clue that what I really was suffering from was mercury poisoning.
So you were putting these pieces together, a little tiny bit of the puzzle at a time.
Well, I was, because there was no information out there for me unless I sought it. And I, you know, of course, discovered that I was not alone. I found two discussion groups on the Internet, which those groups actually supported me for close to 2 years.
Wow.
They were dentists and doctors and other people who had discovered that their multitude of illnesses and symptoms were actually mercury poisoning. And I found the organization DAMS, it's Dental Amalgam Mercury Syndrome. It's a national support group for people who believe they may have mercury poisoning. And the vice president lived in my area. So she had a packet to me, and I would recommend that anybody who thinks that they have symptoms that may be related to the fillings in their teeth, that they get in touch with this organization. They can call an 800 number, 800-311-6265, and get an information packet. And they also have the names of mercury-free dentists throughout the country, which is what I did. I went to a mercury-free dentist about 2.5 hours from my home, and I had to have a driver because I had lost my equilibrium. I was just like an MS patient. And I had my dental fillings removed very, very slowly during a period of about 5 months, one quadrant, and then I waited for a month and a half or two, and then I had another one done, which is another important point.
Right, don't segmenting the treatment, that's right.
Right, don't rush in and go and have all your fillings taken out.
Well, now, where in this were you showing the myasthenia gravis?
Oh, that's the next interesting point.
Oh, gosh.
Of course, never went back to that neuro-ophthalmologist.
Right.
And so I sought the advice of another one. You know, Philadelphia has several teaching hospitals, very well known, very well renowned. And I went to another one, and the neuro-ophthalmologist took a look at me. And by this time, it was about, say, 2 weeks later, and I had a drooping eyelid. Just woke up one morning and it was drooping. And he looked at me and he said, I don't think you have multiple sclerosis. I think you have myasthenia gravis. Most people don't even know what that is, and I certainly didn't.
Right.
And he said, well, you'll just get a test for it and we'll see. And that test was antibodies to the acetylcholine receptor. It was positive.
Now, what this means is you're reacting against part of the signaling system inside your body that keeps your eyes open or closed. It also runs other parts of your muscle system.
Right. You mean acetylcholine.
Right.
Yeah, it runs throughout the whole body, doesn't it?
Right.
But I, of course, this was all new to me, and it would be new to anybody. I mean, the average person wouldn't have any idea what this is about. You just listen to your doctor.
Right.
Right? And you take the medication. I at that point, already had read information by a research by a Patrick Stordebecker, who is a Swedish neurologist, and he actually wrote a book about mercury poisoning from dental fillings and how it relates to multiple sclerosis, myasthenia gravis, and epilepsy. So I understood from his work exactly what happened, something that no doctor could tell me.
Right.
And how the mercury travels along the nerves through the cranial venous system to the trigeminal nerve, blocking the acetylcholine receptor, not allowing the nerve to speak to the muscle.
Exactly.
That's why my eye, of course, you understand that.
And let's cut to the chase. You got better.
Yeah, it wasn't fast.
Okay.
It's not overnight.
Right.
Don't let anybody think that it is overnight, because it usually takes a very long time for the mercury to build up in the system in the brain. Now, I had 13 teeth filled before this acute attack.
Right.
Or episode. So I had problems, I think, related to mercury toxicity that people just accept as part of the aging process.
Right.
And
until you got the acute poisoning, you really didn't realize.
Correct. I didn't. So maybe he did me a favor. I don't know. To find out that I was mercury poisoned. And the first thing I did, of course, was start taking the fillings out. And I went to see an environmental medical doctor who diagnosed me immediately. He knew exactly what was happening. And he put me on a special diet. No sugar, very little carbohydrates, lots of protein, organic vegetables, organic fruits, and tons of water, and about 100 supplements a day. I literally was taking a tremendous dose of vitamin C, B, E, all the antioxidants, and many other vitamins and nutrients. And very, very slowly, very, very slowly, I started to regain my equilibrium. The brain fog took about, I would say, close to a year before I felt that I didn't have it any longer. And my eyelids drooped for 3.5 years.
Wow.
It was one eye, then the other, then both eyes. And another neuro-ophthalmologist at another teaching hospital diagnosed me with myasthenia gravis. And in fact, I have myasthenia gravis from mercury poisoning.
Wow. So, but you have steadily gotten better, right?
I would say that I'm 95% better.
Yes.
No more drooping eyelids. I have a little bit of double vision to the extreme right and left. And I believe that that is because there's still some mercury there.
Oh, I'm sure there still is. Would you share with us your website? Because I think people really need to understand there is information out there from people like you.
Oh, there's tons of information out there. www.toxicteeth.org. There's another website. It's called testfoundation.org. Many peer-reviewed studies on that website, and that is the website of Dr. Boyd Haley.
Excellent. You know, Freya, I really appreciate your sharing your story with us. It's very personal and very intense, and you have done a wonderful job putting this information out. I am thrilled with your recovery.
Well, so am I. And I think the exciting part of it is that there's hope.
Oh, yes.
That people don't have to be sick for the rest of their life. They can get better. And that's the message that I like to put out there.
And they have to choose it, don't they?
They have to choose it. They have to commit to it. It's work. It's hard work.
It's hard work. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much this afternoon for sharing with us. God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
www.toxicteeth.org. It's now about 21 past the hour here on Star 790 KBME with the best medical updates ever. Let's pause briefly for this public service announcement for DAMS, D-A-M-S, the Dental Amalgam Mercury Syndrome. It's a grassroots organization dedicated to educating the public about the health hazards associated with mercury that leaks from amalgam dental restorations, known as silver fillings. There's a growing body of scientific documentation that indicates that mercury leaking out of amalgams is insidiously dangerous to a person's health. They just don't notice. Many of our people in DAMS have had recoveries from serious health problems which were considered to have an unknown cause and therefore no known cure, but after their amalgams were removed and replaced with non-toxic restorative material, they got better. So they feel a calling to educate the public about health hazards associated with dental amalgam. They're all volunteers. A basic information pack is available for a $7 donation, please. You can contact them on the web, www.dentaltruth.com. D-E-N-T-A-L-T-R-U-T-H at yahoo.com, and their 1-800 number 311-6265. Hey, you know what? This is Headache Awareness Week. We're just finishing, so why suffer? Call for your CD copy of our radio shows that talk about successful treatments for headache. It's also Drive Safe Month, so as we often remind you, buckle up. And Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Month. Would you believe you should add these to the four basic food groups? You know, pasta, 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 and sauce on the side, so add some fresh fruit and vegetables. It's Gemini through June 20th, and, you know, it's the June birthstone is the pearl, kind of an interesting stone, and the June flower is the rose. June is also Vision Research Month. We just had a program on using chelation therapy and nutrition and a mild electrical current to treat macular degeneration, so call for your CD copy. And our blast from the past, Burma Shave. Within this veil of toil and sin, your head grows bald, but not your chin. Use Burma Shave. I just love those. We have the pleasure of welcoming this afternoon Dr. Boyd Haley to our show. He received his bachelor's in chemistry and physics from Franklin College in 1963, but he didn't stop there. He went on to get a Ph.D. in chemistry and biochemistry at Washington State University. Was an NIH, National Institutes of Health postdoctoral scholar in physiology, Yale University Medical School. His first academic appointment started at Wyoming, and would you believe he has ended up the chair and professor of the Department of Chemistry since 1996 at the University of Kentucky Medical Center. He has spent the past 17 years emphasizing studies in the biochemistry of Alzheimer's disease, and you know, his research into Alzheimer's showed that mercury toxicity was a major factor in making this worse, perhaps even a cause of the disease. And Dr. Haley was one of the first to propose that the preservative used in infant vaccines was the most likely toxic agent involved in autism-related disorders. And we have many more things that he's done. We're just welcoming Dr. Boyd Haley, a good friend of mine and a wonderful research doctor. How are you, Boyd?
I'm just fine.
Well, great. Listen, let's cut to the chase on this mercury thing. People are out there saying, no, my dentist wouldn't do that to me. He wouldn't do it knowingly, would he?
You know, no, dentists are really kind of the victims in this issue. Dentists are taught in dental school that mercury doesn't come out of amalgam fillings or comes out at a very low rate. And to be very honest with you, the American dental schools are teaching it totally wrong. I mean, they're They couldn't be more incorrect in what they state.
And you're talking from basic research studies. You're talking about from the way it really happens.
Well, one can take a, you know, amalgam is just like making a, you know, a paste and letting it harden.
Right.
And we can make amalgams of known weight, known surface area, and place them in a sealed test tube with 50 mLs of water, measure the mercury that's dissolved in the water on a daily basis. And when we do that, we find values that are hundreds, if not thousands of times higher than what the ADA experts estimate. I would point out, it's really easy to do this. I had this done by undergraduate students at the University of Kentucky. And yet the American Dental Association, with all its dollars, nor the National Institutes of Dental and Craniofacial Research, with all their dollars, have yet to publish one simple, straightforward research project where you make amalgams outside the mouth and then measure the amount of mercury that comes off, you know, of them with, you know, just setting in a test tube.
Now, you're talking about mixing it up just like they do in a dental office, but don't put it in a person's mouth. Put it in the test tube.
Yeah.
And then
we put it in a form, you know, so we know exactly the surface area. And we know the circumference. It's come out, looks like a baby aspirin.
Uh-huh.
About that size. And then you know the weight, and you can know the surface area. You can calculate. You drop it in 50 mLs of tube of water, and you seal it. And every day you measure the mercury coming off in that water. And you analyze it with a cold vapor analyzer, which is the most accurate way to measure mercury. And you say, oh, look, about 4.5 micrograms per centimeter squared comes off per day. And after you do that about, you know, 10 or 20 days in a row, you have the student do things like brush it, you know, 15 strokes or 30 seconds with a toothbrush twice a day and say, does that increase it? Well, then it goes up tenfold.
And tenfold.
Easy.
So here we are brushing our teeth to stay healthy, and we're actually knocking that mercury off much faster.
Well, you're knocking off the top oxidative layer, and you release a lot more mercury. And we've demonstrated that. A specific TV station came and interviewed me about 2 weeks ago and asked me to do that demonstration. And we took actually two baby teeth that had been extracted from an infant that had amalgam fillings. And we showed them when we held it in front of the vapor sniffer that, you know, a certain level was coming off, but it was kind of low. And then using a, you know, just a store-bought regular bristle toothbrush, we gave it 15 strokes, and then it pegged the needle, went up over tenfold on the meter.
Wow!
Just by doing that. So, you know, these are studies that are simple and easy, and we also did the visual of the smoking tooth. We can see the mercury vapor
right
coming off with the UV lamp.
Right. You showed us that beautiful film. That's amazing.
Well, it's not amazing. It's just that is really a kind of test that everyone's done for years to show that a mercury lamp, you know, will be able to detect mercury vapor coming off of liquid mercury. So it's been around for a long time, and this is the kind of test that anyone, and what I want to make clear to your listening audience is that the dental associations could do this too, but they would rather just lie to the American public and say, oh, it's just a little bit of mercury, or as they did for many years, say there's none coming off. And in fact, the major contributor to the mercury body burden of most Americans is their dental amalgams. Not fish, not breathing the air from coal-fired power plants, but their dental amalgams.
And it starts in infancy with the vaccinations.
Well, the vaccinations are another issue. But on the day of birth, since about 1983-84, when we instituted the mandated vaccine policy, we were giving children on the day they're born, you know, over 60 to 100 times excess of what would be considered a safe level of organic mercury by inoculating them with a vaccination.
Wow.
And this when the autism epidemic started. Back in 1980, we had a rate of about 4 to 5 per 10,000, and now in the United States, some people estimate that we have over 60 per 10,000, and that rate coincides with the increase in mercury exposure by mandated vaccines by the CDC mandated vaccine program.
So we're taking lives away from both the children and their families.
You're absolutely destroying the lives of a certain subset of the population.
And there's no way to predict who.
Pardon?
And there's no way to predict who is going to...
Well, I think there is now, but I think it's very difficult. And what we followed was we measured the mercury in the birth hair. And people can understand this is the hair that the child was born with. We measured the mercury level, and we plotted that against the number of dental amalgams that the birth mother had. And with normal children, they had increased mercury in their birth hair with increasing number of amalgams in the mother, which is what one would expect. However, the autistic children fell into a totally different category, and they were 100% of them in this category, and that's that they had extremely low mercury in their birth hair. And if you're a biochemist, what that tells you is that these children aren't excreting the mercury.
They're putting it somewhere else.
They're absorbing it in their bodies, and they're not putting it back out in their bloodstream in the form in which it ends up in hair and and in the urine.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. We're going to come right back for more information on that from Dr. Boyd Haley, who's joining us this afternoon, the professor and chair of the Department of Chemistry, University of Kentucky Medical Center. It's now about 30 minutes past the hour here on Star 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. Sometimes, especially when our attention is focused on health problems, we forget that laughter is the best medicine. So how about this one for today? After finishing an out-of-town errand, I discovered that my car wouldn't start because it was out of gas. A passerby told me there was a service station a half a mile away, so I took a gas can from the trunk, trudged the distance in the sweltering sun. The attendant filled my 2-gallon can, and I lugged it back and poured the gas into the tank. But when I tried to unlock the car door, it wouldn't open. Just then, I noticed an identical old car parked a short distance away, and that was actually my car. I had filled a stranger's gas tank. Wearily, I walked back to the station. You know, the attendant suggested helpfully, instead of walking back and forth to fill the tank from the can, you could put a couple of gallons in the tank and then drive the car here. Oh, goodness. Today, Flag Day is right around the corner, June 14th. It's the anniversary of adopting Old Glory in 1777. Long may it wave. It's also today the birthday of baseball, the baseball. It was actually invented in 1839. How about them Astros? And we're just now finishing Men's Health Week. You can get your CD copy of our radio show on hormones for better health and better performance. Just give us a call. Let's get straight to the question, what are you waiting for? Sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Angry at not feeling better? Threatened with pain or limitations? Fearful about your future? Can you trust that you'll find the answers, the ones you need right now? You'd better take this responsibility seriously. You've got to find the answer somehow, and you'd better be right because your survival might be in the balance. So listen to what I have to offer. Over the past 24 years, I've developed and improved integrative treatment programs to help many people suffering with a great variety of frustrating illnesses, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, heart disease, even after surgery, and especially congestive heart failure. Shortness of breath, restless sleep or insomnia, poor circulation and leg pains, hypoglycemia and diabetes, poor memory, even Alzheimer's and other dementias such as we're talking about today, migraines and other headaches, rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, ulcerative colitis and other gut problems, frustrating skin conditions, disabling neck and back pains, sports injuries and arthritis, prostatitis, chronic urinary infections, chronic sinus and lung infections, hormones, thyroid, sexual performance, PMS, menopause, even manopause. And the list goes on and on because health deals with basic body processes, not just with squashing particular symptoms. You could feel better than you ever expected. You know, I've lectured on these topics for over 20 years. I've written books and medical papers to share how to make healing happen. The leading authors and newsletter editors in preventive medicine have been personal friends of mine for years. And in my 25 years of practice, I found that very few people know that simple, effective, and cost-conscious solutions are available to help with their problems, starting now. And few people realize that several of the problems for which they're seeing different specialists are often related to the same basic cause. So correcting what's causing one problem might improve several other problems that frustrate, worry, or anger you. Make your healthcare investment pay even bigger dividends in your future. Get details on our exclusive and unique cashable voucher program that can return to you cash dollars for your future expenses. We're here to save your health and save your wallet as well. And that's what this show is all about, and that's what we're all about at Life Celebrating Health and Humble. Call for a free consultation with one of our treatment assistants. No fee, no obligation. Just dial 1-800-FIX-PAIN. That's 1-800-FIX-PAIN. You're listening to Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge. Invite your family and friends to tune in and join us here on Star 790 KBME for the best medical updates ever, Saturday afternoons from 1 till 2. And we're rejoining this afternoon Dr. Boyd Haley, the professor and chair of the Department of Chemistry, University of Kentucky Medical Center. And I keep bringing that up because we're not talking with someone who's just a raving lunatic about something in the environment. We're actually talking about someone who conducts and leads the research. And right now we're talking about mercury and other toxic metals as they affect human nervous systems. Boyd, you know, when you talk about the being able to identify the infants This is really biochemically and looking at individuality, isn't it? The people who are going to get in trouble and those who aren't.
Yes. You know, and when people think that that's an amazing find or something that would be unexpected, they just have to go back to the well-known aspect of, you know, inability to detox alcohol.
Right.
You know, if our Alaskan Native friends drink a couple of beers, I mean, they are intoxicated for a long period of time. Yet if you're Irish or German or something like that, you can drink a couple of beers and not even notice it.
Right.
And what it is, it's the inability to detox, and there are, we call these genetic susceptibilities.
Right. They're biochemically different. That's
yeah,
it.
That's right. And it doesn't mean they're inferior. It just means they're different. And there are evidently, there's a subset of the population that cannot effectively excrete mercury, and it's probably based on their genetics, and they would be just fine if somebody didn't inject mercury into their body.
With the thimerosal-preserved
yes.
vaccinations. And then, of course, the next thing they do is go to see the dentist and get dental amalgams.
Well, that happened before, I think, in the mother. The mother, you know, the one thing about our study what that showed is that the infant in utero is being dramatically exposed to mercury from the mother's dental amalgams.
Well, aren't states beginning to pay attention to this and restricting the amount of amalgam that can be put in while you're pregnant?
Some are fighting this, yes, but you know it's fought actively by the American Dental Association. They don't want people recognizing that dental amalgams are the major source of mercury exposure.
Well, now let's cut to the chase on this. Let's say you limit the mercury going in while the mother's pregnant. That doesn't have anything to do with all the mercury she's had in other fillings or even in her root canals or anything like that, right?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's the existing amalgams. These weren't amalgams that were put in. I mean, mercury comes out of amalgams as they exist in your mouth. When you chew,
you get mercury.
You drink hot water. I mean, you know, for example, if I do an experiment holding an amalgam in a tooth, and I hold it in front of the mercury vapor sniffer, I'll get a certain reading. If I put that in, say, a cup of hot coffee, and I don't mean blazing hot, I mean just regular hot coffee from a machine, and hold it in there for 3 seconds and take it out, it'll peg the meter. So every time you increase the temperature or the pressure on a dental amalgam, you dramatically increase the amount of mercury that comes out of it.
Wow. Now,
that's something that any high school kid can demonstrate.
We're talking everyday life stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
And you understand a lot of people, I mean, it's not uncommon, you know, in the, especially, I know how old you are, John, in your age category to find people with 15 to 20 amalgam fillings.
Right. And that's
those
very
people
common.
Are getting, they're getting a bolus effect. And as long as they're healthy and they have the right genetics, they can excrete it. But as we get older, we'll reach a point in our life, all of us will reach a point in our life where we don't have the metabolic energy to excrete this mercury, and then's when we get in trouble. That's my opinion.
And we get sicker and sicker and think that it's just old age and illness
right.
striking us.
Well, you know, the study they did, you know, way before I ever got into the mercury research area and Alzheimer's, they did a study on the mercury level in the fingernails of Alzheimer's patients versus age-matched controls. And they found exactly the opposite of what they expected, just like a lot of people found with the hair in the autistic versus control. In Alzheimer's disease, those people have very low levels of mercury in their fingernails and much higher levels of mercury in their brain in compared to age-matched controls. And as the severity and the length of the dementia increased, the mercury in the fingernails of these patients went down. And what that's telling you is that these aged people are not excreting mercury.
They're storing it inside in all the wrong places.
In all the wrong places, right.
Now, one of the things that you shared with us recently at one of our lectures was about rats and combining toxic metals.
Oh, if you take a level of mercury that's not toxic to a rat, or just slightly toxic to a rat, and a level of lead that's not toxic to a rat, or just slight, and you cut that by 1/20th, and then you mix those solutions, two non-toxic solutions in equivalent, if you put those two together, you have a solution that will kill 100% of the rats.
Totally toxic to the rats.
Totally toxic. And that was published in 1974. This is not mystery. And the argument you know I have with a lot of the material put out by the American Dental Association and the other people who support the use of dental amalgams is that they assume we're rats in a pristine cage where we're only exposed to one heavy metal.
Right.
And with humans, that's just not the case. I mean, if you look at the hair analysis of, just an average group of humans, you're going to find arsenic, chromium, lead, cadmium. Any smoker is going to have a lot of cadmium.
Aluminum,
and all of those things.
Nickel. It just goes on and on, doesn't it?
It goes on and on. And what these things are, the that it's the sum, it's not even the sum total of these. They're very synergistic in their toxic effects.
Wow.
And so, you know, cadmium and mercury together are very, very toxic.
And it just goes on and on. Boyd Haley, the chair and professor at the University of Kentucky Department of Chemistry, will be right back. It's now about 40 past the hour here on Star 790 KBME, the best medical updates ever. We sometimes forget that spiritual centering is an important part of healing, getting better and staying healthier. And today's verse is from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. And I would offer that diligent hands bring health, because if you refuse to accept that your illness is something you have to be stuck with permanently, perhaps that makes a big difference in your life. Let's go to today's celebrity birthdays. Today, George H.W. Bush, recent president, 1924. Happy birthday. Entertainers Vic Damone, 1928, and Jim Nabors, 1932. On the 10th, Judy Garland, 1923. On the 11th, football coaching legend Vince Lombardi, born 1913. And on the 13th, America's prettiest billionaires, Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen, jointly born 1986, just moments apart. And to billionaire Donald Trump, born on June 14th, 1946, you're fired. And we're back with Dr. Boyd Haley, the professor and chair of chemistry at the University of Kentucky Medical School. Now, we're talking about the fact that we aren't in a sterile environment. We're in the real world, and it's toxic.
Very much so.
And it's
especially
toxic.
With modern, you know, the modern living and, you know, and what we've done with our earth over the last 60, 70 years, we've really contaminated.
Oh, we poisoned the nest, didn't we?
Yeah.
And do people really, I know that you have testified before a variety of government agencies on the effects of mercury toxicity from amalgams and vaccinations, and you've also lectured around the country with various doctor groups, dentists and physicians. Are people increasingly aware of this, or are we still turning a blind eye?
Well, people are increasingly aware. I think people go to the dentist now and demand not to have amalgam fillings. The problem you have is you have essentially two organizations, the American Dental Association and the American Academy of Pediatricians, for a lack of a better word, who have practiced medicine and dentistry by using mercury as a part of their treatment.
Right.
And now it's coming out that, look, this may have been causing a problem, a major problem. They never tested it. They never checked it out. They would even fight getting it checked out. And now they want to say, well, it didn't happen. We didn't do that. And when it comes down to who checks them out, what they try to do is they try to get, you know, people who are sympathetic to them, mainly their own members of their own group, to guard the hen house. And in the last Institute of Medicine, you know, you had a disease that obviously, or in my opinion, most likely was caused by exposure to mercury and vaccinations given by physicians and doctors. And then at the end, you know, when you say, well, let's check this out and see if this is at all causal or if this is at all involved, does it make sense? And so you call in another committee of doctors to say, no, our fellow doctors didn't do anything wrong. I mean, that's the decision they came to. And yet they ignored all the basic science that shows that these children do not handle mercury effectively and that this was that the exposure or the increase in autism came with the increase in exposure from the vaccines. It all makes perfectly good sense and should at least be cautiously looked at. And what they recommended is that we even stop looking at vaccinations or mercury as a cause of autism. They recommended that no more funding be given to people like myself who say, look, exposing children to one of the most potent neurotoxins known to man on the day they're born should not be considered, even looked at as a possible cause for this epidemic. And what this the sin of this is, that there are children out there, and you were at the same conference I was, you know, where people were talking about treating autistic children by removing mercury and or conditions which allow their bodies to remove mercury themselves, and they were getting some phenomenal results.
Oh, incredible results. Exciting
results. And here our Institute of Medicine is telling us, don't do that anymore.
Well, you know, Boyd, here's the problem that you and I face. I mean, we're talking about the Institute of Medicine, and everybody knows that must be very important, and these are all the best minds and so on. And are they the best minds or the bought minds?
I mean, in my opinion, after reading their last report, I'd say, their report was full of holes.
Their report was Swiss cheese.
It was insulting to all the people who have done research to show that, you know, very, very low levels of thimerosal inhibit the very same enzymes and the same biochemical systems that we see that are, you know, inhibited in these autistic children. And they're telling the rest of science, don't even consider what these people say.
Right now,
even though my particular research that I talked about was repeated by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, at the Pfeiffer Institute, and I think by a Dr. Jim Adams at Arizona State University. We've all got the same results. Autistic children do not excrete mercury effectively.
Now here's what's strange about this, and I keep harping on it a little bit, because we're so interested in establishing good treatments in medicine, but the best treatment is always based on, number one, understanding what's causing it, number two, avoiding it if you can. And here we have the mechanism that appears to relate, if not to all, then at least to most autism-related disorders, which condemns a child to being different or being absolutely apart for the rest of his life, and condemns a family to having to suffer with this for the rest of their lives, and yet we want to turn away and say, no, that can't be it. But the evidence points the other direction.
The evidence, you know, the biochemical level evidence, the cell level evidence is strongly implicating thimerosal as the cause of this disease. And when they told us to turn away and not consider that anymore, we've asked them several times, and I've even had newspaper people ask them, what is their hypothesis? Where do we turn? What other hypothesis do you have that's better?
How do you explain it?
Yeah, and they don't have one.
Right. They just know it's not the mercury in the vaccination.
Yes, because that would implicate physicians practicing very poor medicine.
Right. I guess.
And let me tell you, some physicians are outstanding. One, I think your audience ought to know, I'm very much in favor of vaccine policy.
Right.
I just think the vaccines ought to be safe. And I don't think all physicians are, you know, wacko. I think those that get in the hands of the pharmaceutical industry that say, vaccinate as much as you can, as early as you can, because we'd like the money. Those are the ones that I think are really disastrous to human health.
But we can make vaccines without the thimerosal mercury, right?
They still do.
And
I mean, they are now. And, you know, yes, that's been possible for years.
And it is available if you ask for it, if you know to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
So then there comes the major question. If we're not informed, then we suffer, don't we?
Yes, and, you know, that was one of the most deceptive, misleading lines in the IOM report. They made this statement that thimerosal-free vaccines were available to the children upon request, like the children would know or their parents would know. And what they didn't put in there, however, most vaccine on most counters and most clinics in the United States were those containing thimerosal because we didn't recall it because we didn't want to cause the vaccine companies to lose money.
And that would be a lot of money, that's right. Well, now, we're looking at, you know, autism and such in children, and we're also looking on the other end at Alzheimer's and other similar dementias in adults. How much do these things look like they're the same kind of illness? It's just different exposures over the lifetime.
Well, it's different exposures at different time. You know, exposures to a bolus, well, you know, one-day dose, and a vaccine to an infant on the day it's born when its blood-brain barrier is wide open. I mean, as open as it'll ever be. It causes a different effect in the developing brain than it does when you put mercury in someone, say, who's 12, and they keep it in there for 40 or 50 years at a low chronic level. And one of them's an organic material, and the other one's mercury vapor.
Right.
So you can get different effects. And, you know, you probably know about acridemia.
Right.
You know, it was caused by putting mercury in the teething powders of babies back prior to 1940.
Right.
I mean, it looked a lot like autism, but it wasn't autism because, you know, you started using that mercury on these children when their teeth came out, and, of course, their bodies and their brains had already developed. They developed the same physical problems, you know, the swollen joints, the red skin, the touchy, the sensitive to touch skin, but they didn't become demented.
Right, because they had a whole different brain exposure at that point,
yeah,
months
well, they,
later.
Their brain had developed, and they were making bile probably by that time. Because, see, the babies on the day of the born aren't making much bile, and they can't excrete mercury because mercury is excreted through the biliary transport system of the liver. And so that's the reason, you know, a shot to them is a lot more than it is to, say, a person who's making bile who can excrete the mercury effectively.
Right. Let's take the whole issue then of root canals.
Oh, that's a totally different ball game. But, you know, That's another thing that our, you know, I think that's an issue of bioethics in a way. You know, if you read all the literature, every paper I've ever read published in a dental journal that has looked at the issue have found that every root canal that they've ever studied contains a bacterial infection. And yet, it's a piece of dead tissue. It's the only place in medicine that we leave a piece of dead tissue in the body. And yet the dentists have absolutely no requirement to tell the patient that if I kill this tooth with this root canal, I'm going to leave a piece of infected dead tissue in your body. And so I think these patients have a right to know what exactly is going to happen to them long term with a root canal. And root canals provide, you know, a constant source of anaerobic bacterial infection to the human body.
And we're talking lifelong at that point, however long that stays. And in fact, sometimes removing the tooth, they don't actually scrape out the dead infected tissue down at the very bottom.
That's right. And what happens is that people then end up with an infected jawbone, and they end up with jawbone osteonecrosis, and which can cause them to lose even more of their teeth.
That's right. That's their bone dissolving then. You know, what I think is odd about this, and I wanted to bring that up with you, Boyd, because these are the natural things we expect. I mean, we're going to drink fluoridated and chlorinated water. We're going to have dental decay treated with amalgams. We're going to have root canals to preserve a tooth, a dead tooth. And you look at these things, this is just what's common in our society. We're going to have vaccinations when we're kids. How do we stay alert and aware about this?
Well, you know, one thing, you have to have somebody besides the person making money off of the process evaluating whether it's safe or not. I mean, dentists want to place amalgam fillings and want to continue using that because it makes them money. The pharmaceutical companies want to continue using Thimerosal in vaccines because it makes the vaccines cheaper for them to make and increases their profit margin. The endodontists want to continue doing root canals because it is a $1 billion a year plus business.
$1 billion a year?
Oh, there's yes, it's well, I don't know how much it is, but it's you know,
hundreds of millions
or something. I mean, I shouldn't probably be so but I mean, it's a lot of money. They don't want to quit doing it.
Right.
And they don't want the population coming around suing them when they develop coronary heart disease because somebody did a root canal on them.
And indeed, we're starting to see these associations, aren't we, with these
yes.
chronic diseases that are getting us in trouble. We're starting to see, when you look in the people's past, you can find factors that are common.
Well, the bottom line in it is very damning of the American Dental Association and the National Institutes of Dental Research. There are lots of papers where people talk about the periodontal disease, which is the major risk factor for coronary heart disease,
right.
low birth, you know, a whole slug of systemic illnesses. And what they show is that the bacteria from periodontal disease invade these teeth, and then the tooth gets an abscess in the jawbone, and so you get a root canal, and you go down, you leave the abscess in the jawbone. You leave the infection in the jawbone, but you kill the pain, and yet this person is constantly suffering from the same exposure to the same bacteria that or in periodontal disease, which everyone agrees is the major risk factor for all these other heart ailments, you know, low birth weight babies, late onset insulin independent diabetes. And anybody that would look at that is medically educated or understands how infections spread would say, you know, root canals should not be allowed. I mean,
and dental amalgams with mercury should not be allowed.
They make the situation a lot worse, yes.
And vaccines with thimerosal mercury preservatives should not be allowed.
And the other thing that is important that people know that we talk about the National Institutes of Dental Research as if they're somehow associated with the National Institutes of Health, and they're not.
Oh, really?
No, I thought they were too, and I found out they are totally independent of the National Institutes of Health. So you have dentists making decisions about what is good dentistry with no oversight by anyone that knows medicine.
Wow, what a final parting comment. Dr. Boyd Haley, thanks so much for sharing your perspectives this afternoon. I really wanted to have you on because you've been in this field for years and you really know what the story is. And I thank you so much for sharing this afternoon.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you at the next conference. God bless you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Have a good evening.
Chronic disease. It's a big financial burden. It's growing. The take-home message here is pretty simple. Nearly half of Americans suffer at least one chronic disease, everything from allergies to heart disease. That's 20 million more than doctors had anticipated each year. And they warn that the fast-growing toll, now at 125 million among a population of 276 million, will reach as many as 157 million Americans by the year 2020. That's one-fifth of Americans have two or more chronic diseases complicating their care and making it more expensive. And where do all these things come from? Could it be that we're actually looking at a lot of the source? We're really unprepared to cope with this, the growing burden of chronic disease. Annual medical bills alone are expected to almost double to over $1 trillion by the year 2020. It's the major public health challenge that could affect all Americans and literally bankrupt us all. And while doctors have made major advances in treating certain chronic illnesses, they still cause 70% of all American deaths. And, you know, the problem is it's a difficult subject, partly because there's so many different diseases that qualify. Simple allergies may not kill someone, but they require a lifetime of medication and doctor visits. And heart disease can require even more complex drug therapy and surgery and testing. And at the other extreme is Alzheimer's disease, eventually requiring round-the-clock care. And again, we keep scratching our head and wondering, where do they come from? An overweight diabetic farmer has insurance to pay for the 20-minute physician's office visit, which is just enough time to have his blood sugar tested so an adjustment can be made to his medication. And the physician says helping the man lose weight would do more good, but he's not paid to recommend that. So what do you do? Already 60 million Americans suffer with multiple chronic illnesses, a number expected to reach 81 million Americans by the year 2020 as the population slowly ages with the baby boomers. So someone without a chronic illness pays an average of $182 a year in out-of-pocket health expenses compared to more than double that with patients with one chronic illness and even triple that or more for someone battling three or more. The total annual health costs get extravagant. With someone who's got chronic illness, it's five times higher than a healthy person, over $6,000 compared to about $1,100. Could toxic metals such as mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, aluminum, nickel, tin, even iron excess be making you sick, be giving you a chronic disease? Advanced diagnosis can find out, and advanced treatment can help, and you owe it to yourself to find out today, because you see there is hope that help really is available now. Today's program of Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge has not been brought to you by the number 7 and not by the letter M, but instead by The Rumble and Umble, Heart Surgery and All That Jazz, a book we published in 1997 talking about toxic metals, and also by The Toxic Metal Syndrome, a book by my good friend Dr. Richard Kasdorf. Toxic Metal Syndrome, you can get that book on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, whatever. Cindy from Bel Air asked us to explain what can be done to really help those with Parkinson's disease, so tune in next time when the shakes give you the willies. Today's show is dedicated to all those wonderful people, our friends and family and neighbors, even ourselves, who silently and unknowingly suffer through each day, week after week, month after month, year after year, never realizing the toxic metals in their mouths and in their bodies are stealing their health and finally snuffing out their lives, and never realizing that safe and effective and affordable treatment is literally around the corner and down the street. Our production engineer today is Mark Fisher, our production assistants, Catherine Hill and Kathy Guyon. Thanks for joining me today. Have you learned practical pointers to help you regain and maintain better health? Maybe to help you guide your family or friends toward new solutions for their problems. Audio tape and CD copies of the show are available for your personal reference and to share with family and friends. Simply call 1-800-FIX-PAIN for details. What health problems are bringing you down or limiting your comfort, threatening your future? Share your questions by email, info@healthchoicesnow.com or by fax, 281-540-4329, or just call us at 1-800-FIX-PAIN or call to talk with one of our treatment assistants. Let us know what special information we might send you. Receive our free e-newsletter simply by sharing your email address with us and enjoy the free downloads available on our website, www.healthchoicesnow.com. Feel free to come by to see what's so special and visit with patients who are feeling better right now because they're anxious to share their successes with you in person. We're next to the Northeast Medical Center Hospital near Bush Intercontinental Airport. Call 1-800-FIX-PAIN for directions or a map. We'd love to show you where better health happens. Remember, if your money, your time, your effort, your comfort, or even your life is at stake, get the very best answers and the very best treatment you can find. Rely on experts who can make sense out of your problems, who have the experience to produce results for you. When life is your choice, failure is not an option. Our message is one of hope for a healthier future, and we aim to produce these results for you. Invite your family and friends to join me next week, Saturday afternoon from 1 till 2 on Star 790 KBME for the best medical updates ever. Exclusively on Feeling Better Naturally with Dr. John Trowbridge. Have a great day and a wonderful week.